And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. 1,000 people gathered at Auk Bay in Juneau on Saturday to welcome the Hokulea and her crew to Juneau. Now the crew is prepared to embark on a 4-year journey around the world. People on the shore heard the sounding of the conch as the twin-hulled, wind-powered voyaging canoe approached. Warmline-painted yachts brought the canoe to shore as dancers performed in cedar hats and Chilkat robes. Akkwan leaders welcomed the canoe to their homeland. Elder Fran Houston said the 4-year journey will be special and good for the communities it touches.
It means a whole lot to everybody. The connection is powerful. Everything right now is powerful. And I'm just real happy and just tickled pink.
The crew of the Hokulea and their Southeast Navigators lined the beach, facing the Tlingit elders who came to greet them. Houston led a song she learned from her grandmother to the visitors.
It's with love, and I love singing it, and I'm surprised that I sang both verses twice. So Gunakchish, I'd like to say you're welcome to the shore, and I'm happy that you're here.
The crew, some dressed in t-shirts and hats, others in leis and malo, return the welcome with their own songs and chants. The Hokulea was returning from a voyage to Yucatan and other Southeast communities. On Thursday, the crew will begin a more than 40,000-mile journey called Moana Nuakea with the goal to learn about land stewardship and unity from Indigenous communities around the world. Nainoa Thompson, president of the Polynesian Voyaging Society, spoke to the crowd about that history and about the Voyaging Society's relationship with Southeast Alaska's Indigenous communities, who gifted the Society 2 spruce trees in the 1990s to build another canoe.
I have the impossible task of kind of thanking everybody for not just making this day happen, but the whole journey through Southeast Alaska. That will take 2 months and about 1,200 miles.
Chris Blake is a part of the crew that traveled to Yakutat. Back home in Oahu, he teaches traditional, non-instrumental navigation and wayfinding.
It was a 30-hour journey, being on the inland areas, and then when we got out to the ocean, it's definitely a lot colder than we were used to. But the amount of things that we're seeing and the unfamiliarity with it, we were a lot of elders and people who were much more familiar with the area were there to guide us.
Blake said he was energized by the navigation and voyaging skills shared by the Indigenous Hawaiians and Southeast Alaska Natives.
You know, it was such great to see the abilities that we have and how they parallel a lot of the experts who are familiar with these areas and how, you know, although we're not necessarily truly related, but how a lot of our similarities are able to help us and to drive us into the things that we have to do, got us to our destination.
Blake hopes he can be chosen to continue to participate in the Moana Nuakea voyage as it circles the Earth. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Hokulea will set off on its voyage around the world on Thursday afternoon from Auk Bay. Anyone is welcome to attend the send-off from 1 p.m. to 6, and it will also air live on KTOO 360 TV. Overdose deaths have been consistently rising in Alaska for the past several years. Most of that is due to illegal fentanyl, and it's been showing up more and more in pills that look like prescription drugs but are counterfeit. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has more on why these pills are so dangerous.
The counterfeit pills look just like the prescription opioid pills they're mimicking, or sometimes they're designed to look like an anti-anxiety pill like Xanax. But they're actually made with fentanyl, a synthetic or lab-created opioid. Captain Tony Wegson is the commander of the Alaska Bureau of Investigation. He says state law enforcement responded to Alaska's jump in overdose deaths last year with a big effort to find and seize illegal fentanyl.
The dosage units of fentanyl that we seized was in the millions of potentially fatal doses. So enough to kill Alaska twice over.
It's too early to say, but he's hoping that because of that work, Alaska will see a decline in overdose deaths for 2023. He says fentanyl has been a boon to drug dealers because it's potent and relatively easy to make, And his understanding is that most of the fentanyl and counterfeit press pills are being made in Mexico by cartels. Wegzin says part of the danger is that the labs making fentanyl and pressing pills are not pharmaceutical grade.
Those are, you know, farms in rural parts of Mexico where in kitchens and bathrooms and houses, there's no beakers involved. It's buckets and pieces of wood to stir them.
So he says the distribution of the fentanyl within batches of pills is not consistent.
And so some batches may be very potent and some batches may not have anything in it. It might just be binder. And you just don't know.
According to the Drug Enforcement Administration, or DEA, 6 in 10 of these fake pills nationally have a potentially fatal dose of fentanyl. Wegzin says rates in Alaska are likely similar. But the demographics of overdoses tend not to be young people. Less than 6% of opioid overdose deaths are of people under 24. And last year, there were almost no deaths of kids younger than 14. Coleman Cutchins is a lead pharmacist for the State Health Department. He says the risk profile of counterfeit pills is alarming. He says it's not safe to take a pill that wasn't prescribed for you.
Honestly, you know, we're at the point where the risk of somebody handing you a tablet that looks like a medication that you don't know where it came from is very similar risk to somebody handing you a syringe with a needle on it and saying inject this.
This is partly because fentanyl is such a powerful drug. A lethal dose of it can fit on the tip of a pencil.
Even in the medical world, you know, fentanyl is dosed in micrograms, and micrograms is an extremely small unit of measure. So when you talk about the difference, you know, a double dose between 1 and 2 micrograms is just an extremely small quantity of measure.
Cutchin says that counterfeit pills have been found at pharmacies in Mexico, but that it's highly unlikely fake pills would show up in a pharmacy in the U.S. or Canada, where there's much stricter oversight on drug manufacturing. But Americans sometimes do go to Mexico or order prescriptions from there online because the prices are lower. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warns Americans not to do that. Cutchin says fentanyl is a huge issue now, but he's also concerned because this current wave of the opioid epidemic seems to be full of synthetic opioids, which are lab-produced, and he's worried it will get worse.
You know, we're kind of on the front end of this wave, and we're a little bit in the dark as to like what's going to happen next in terms of the evolution of synthetics. And they're becoming so much more powerful and so much more, you know, potential to cause injury and to cause death that it's just very different than it's been in the past.
Right now, Alaska and the rest of the U.S. relies heavily on Narcan or Naloxone to reverse opioid overdoses. So Cutchin says the biggest fear is that a lab will create a type of fentanyl that's too powerful for Narcan. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
Alaskans can get free Narcan for opioid overdoses, reversal, and fentanyl test strips for testing their pills at public health centers around the state. The Federal Subsistence Board unanimously opposed 2 special action requests last Thursday. As KOTZ's Desiree Hagen reports, these requests would dramatically limit the harvest for the Western Arctic caribou herd for communities in the herd's range.
Following a decline in the herd population, the Northwest Arctic Regional Advisory Council, a group of residents that advised the federal government on hunting policy, proposed the measures in early March. Right now, hunters can harvest up to 5 caribou per day on federal lands in the herd's range, which is an area roughly the size of California that stretches from the Seward Peninsula to the North Slope. The emergency orders would have cut the limit down to 4 caribou per year. Only one of those caribou could be a cow. Following the board's decision, bag limits will remain unchanged at 5 caribou per day until June next year. The Western Arctic caribou herd has dramatically declined from its population high of about 500,000 2 decades ago. The latest population estimates put the herd numbers down to about a third of that size. While board members acknowledge that reform is necessary to encourage population growth, some expressed concerns about food security to rural communities in the region. The board says more outreach and opportunity for the public to engage in the process and more time is needed before enacting the dramatic change in harvest limits.
That's KOTZ's Desiree Hagen. And as for the weather, it's currently a bit sunny with a high near 58 degrees. winds around 10 miles an hour. Tonight, there may be some scattered showers early tomorrow morning, and otherwise it's going to be a little bit cloudy with a low around 44 degrees. You're listening to KTOO. It's just about 5 o'clock.